wanna know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 515, recorded live on November 8th, 2017. I'm your host, Ed Hard Hat with
Taz427 and
InfoCard. You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our PayPal or Patreon logos on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure where Scott is. I'm sure he's got something going on, but for some reason he's not meeting up tonight. And we almost didn't have Miss Sarah, who had some work-related stuff going on, and she's literally in a small office someplace at her work. And thank you, Sarah, for showing up. Chad, you know, same old for us, but...
Well, I was going to say thank you guys for having your clocks go back, because it makes it much more easy to do, because now we kick off at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, all right. Hey, anything to help you out.
It's a nice end of the day thing for me, so thanks.
Ah, not a problem. Thank you.
So no daylight savings time there, or you guys just do it a little bit different? Huh?
We're in summertime, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do they actually have a daylight savings time in New Zealand?
Sorry, what was that?
Do they actually have a daylight savings time where you change your clocks back and forth in New Zealand?
Yeah, we went back a couple... They've gradually pushed it out. So it went back a couple of months ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. It went back when I went over to the UK on holiday.
Oh, really?
So it's been a month or so now. And it will go back again in April-ish, which is when I have that sort of month or so of juggling at a 2:30 start to the podcast, which is a bit gnarly. And then it go over my winter, your summer. It's 1:30, which is nice and easy because it's a late lunch.
Wow. Yeah, see, before for us, it's been a few years since we actually switched around. We would actually do, instead of where we just did it in November, we actually used to do it like just before Halloween, if I remember right.
Yeah, I've got one automatic clock that switched last week, and I was like, I kept looking at that clock, and I'm like, do I go turn off the daylight savings time and then turn it back on?
Yeah.
Nah, I'll wait it out.
I'll live with it. Yeah.
That's one of these weird things, because Northern Hemisphere Halloween, it's dark in the evenings, whereas here it's sort of light till about 8 o'clock-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. For us with Halloween, it used to be 6 o'clock. It was pitch black out. Now it's not dark till 7. So, yep, all part of the fun, but that's the way it goes. And yes, I know it's daylight saving time, so sorry. I also call it Illinois, so deal with it.
I call it daylight losing time.
That's so. It.
But the reality is we're actually in standard time right now, not savings time. So it feels like you're losing time in the standard time.
I don't even know why we do it anymore. I mean, I know they did it way back when for the industrial age and the farmers and all that fun stuff, but that's just doesn't seem like why.
In the 70s, they theorized that it saved something like 1% on energy bills. And the reality is they did calculations on it. It doesn't even save it saves like a fraction of a percent. It's like so little that, you know, it's in the friggin' noise.
Yeah, why bring up the grief?
Like evenings, though. It gives you a chance to go out and do things.
Not for us. It gets dark now, so we don't see anything. Yeah. It all depends on where you are on the planet. Let's see, other fun stuff going on. I'm sorry?
It's You get to laugh June, July, August-ish.
There you go. There you go. Basically, in the United States, it is cold, it is wet, but at least here in North Kakalaki, there is no snow, which I cannot say for my brother up in Michigan. So,
yeah, it started raining here over the weekend. So we hadn't had rain. We had a ton of rain last winter, but all that stopped about somewhere in the March, April time frame.
Right.
Absolutely no rain until this past week. And so it's winter's here. Rain has come.
Yeah,
and it's technically winter's not here, but close enough.
Close enough. Now it's like, okay, we're in November. You might as well just bundle up and get used to it. Yeah, that's the other thing I realized is that now when I get home from work, I can't cut the grass because it's dark out. So it's like, ah, shucks, can't cut it.
But it's not growing as fast, so it doesn't need as much cutting.
Yeah, no, not too much, but it's one of those ones where I let it go just a little too long, thinking, the grass will go dormant, don't worry about it, we'll be fine, and it's just tall enough in the backyard that I need to give it one more cut. So we'll have to work something out. But yeah, cold and wet and just ucky out. It was just disgusting. So we haven't been able to do too much. Right now, just to let you know, in North Carolina, it's like 45 degrees. So it's cold.
Wow.
Yeah, we actually have to wear a...
That's about our morning low.
Yeah. Yeah, it is cold here. And we've had a couple of good cold fronts. I hope that isn't what winter's going to be like this year. So, Taz, how about yourself? What kind of stuff were you into?
Well, like I said, it was raining. So I managed to get out and go to a GIF 2017 event and watch the movies. I did plan on grabbing a few caches over in that area of town since it's an hour drive out there over in Davis. It was raining so much that I was like, I'm just going to stop here, grab a bite to eat, and then go head on into the GIF event.
Yeah.
It's like, it was, I don't know, when it's cold and rainy, I don't like to cache.
Yeah. Now, see.
Hot and rainy?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But out here, it's never hot and rainy.
Yeah.
It's only cold and rainy.
Yeah. See, I don't even mind snowing. Snowing's fine, but when it's windy and cold and wet and yuck, it's like, I got better things to do.
Yep.
So, Sarah, how about yourself? How are you doing?
Well, it's been sort of a, despite beautiful light evenings, it's been a bit thin on the ground. My parents flew in at the weekend, so a lot of the time was spent sorting things out for them, getting the house to a state where it actually looks as if we vaguely care for it occasionally. And driving them up to their place and helping them sort stuff out. So that sort of put pay to anything useful on the Saturday, on the Friday. Saturday, I'd got roped in to be support crew for one of the kids and a friend of his who was doing an adventure race, while Paul was support crew for another team doing the same adventure race. And I was lucky. I had the ultra competitive too, so they were fast and furious, and they knew exactly what they needed from their support team and what and where and when. And they ended up coming third in their class and something like fifth or sixth overall, which
wow.
is pretty damn impressive.
Yes,
mm-hmm. The younger one's team was a team of four rather than a team of two, and was obviously a couple of hours slower. And they had a slight snag. In that one of the finals, they started off with some running, then some mountain biking, then some more running. And this is cross-country bush stuff rather than nice, neat roads. Then you had then the final stage they had. We had to drop off for them at a stage, a couple of inflated inner tubes, their buoyancy aid life jackets, and any drinks and snacks they wanted to eat there and leave there. Because the final stage was tubing down a river to the finish line.
Wow.
And normally it's sort of 5-10 minutes, but this one stage apparently tubing or as my eldest lad did, picking the inner tube up and running with it along the side of the river for most of it. Took about an hour.
Wow.
And one of the parents hadn't told us that their kid is prone to suddenly getting very cold and borderline hypothermia.
Oh, wow.
So he had, you know, kind of useful to know these things. And the kid, of course, didn't seem to tell us. So Paul, when Alan's team turned up, there's only three of them rather than four of them and the shadow person, because they left the one that had got cold with the shadow party.
Oh, yeah.
To go back and get him sorted out.
Wow.
I mean, whereas the other kids finished. I mean, they were fine at the end. He was wrapped up and put warmed up and happy by the end of it, but we could have lived without the drama. But that meant that caching didn't happen that much.
Yeah.
But the... And you don't know with these races, you know roughly where the start is. We don't know exactly where until about half an hour before the race is due to start. But I was really grateful. I turned on the phone and there was a cache about 200 feet from where the start point was. And there was another one at the first transition stage, or very near. And there was another one about 500 meters from the finish. So I did manage to get a couple in over the weekend.
You never know. You never know. That's pretty cool. So you're going to go see Thor, huh?
Sorry?
You're going to go see Thor?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet. We've been sick, so we haven't had a chance to go.
I liked it. And I was sort of having fun because it's the Taika Waititi, the New Zealand director.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much his film.
Yeah.
And there's sort of a few jokes that the Kiwis will probably get, and I'm not sure that you guys will get.
Well, I know who to ask when we get them, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
Because I'll sit there in the middle of the film going, was that a Kiwi joke?
Oh, the rock, the guy who's sort of made of rocks has a very New Zealand accent, so watch out for that and enjoy.
All right, good stuff. Good to know. All right, good things. Let's move on. We got the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. What's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads is episode 306, Batteries 4. It's time to look again at various battery tech and how to get the most runtime for your geocaching devices. Only Daryl W4 can come up with that kind of fun stuff and make it interesting. I'm just saying. Let's see.
Lithium ions versus metal hydrates.
That's right. Don't get your minds confused. I mean, come on. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's see. On the Geostimates Reboot podcast tomorrow, wife Amy and I are going to be giving our thoughts on the GIF finalists. And also we're going to go over, we saw an interesting post in the geocaching blog that we thought would be a lot of fun, which is 15 reasons to love geocaching. So we'll be going over those tomorrow as well on the Geostimates Reboot podcast. Finally, please consider becoming a patron of our show. It does cost money. We just paid some of the big bills there's the hosting and the website stuff and all the places that we store all the files that you can get for on iTunes and all our different catchers that you have out there, and it does cost a lot of money for that. So you can help out if you love our show and or at least tolerate us. We would greatly appreciate it if you'd stop off at the Geocaching Podcast and click on either the PayPal or the Patreon logos, and if you could throw a couple bucks each month at us, we would greatly appreciate it because every little bit helps. Okay, let's move on to Sarah. Do you want to do this, or you want me to do?
Because I haven't got my show notes up.
Okay, let me do it.
I can do it.
Okay, yeah? All right. So let me give you the official now transit. Here we go.
I got mail. Yay! I got mail. Yay!
Nothing but the
best. Scott, I've got mail. Anyways, Barry, Master Sergeant from U.S. Marine Corps, Oorah. Just wanted to write a quick note to say welcome back, and you guys were missed. Thanks for coming back with one of your quiz shows. Every one of these shows has me laughing out loud, typically right before you blow the horn on someone. Keep up the good work, Barry.
Thank you, Barry. We appreciate it. Yeah, we have a lot of fun with those, but I got a feeling one of these days the rest of the crew is going to retaliate, and I'm going to have to answer some questions. So we'll see what happens.
Rigged, I tell you.
All right, let's move on to the news.
The news. The news.
The news. The news.
Well, the 2017 GIF was actually last week, and we forgot to mention it in our show. Sorry about that.
Yep.
But I hope some of you attended. We have a list of the finalists video in our show notes, and which one was your favorite and why? I guess I think my personal favorite was probably the one caching is free.
Yeah,
in Australia, it was like, yeah,
that's that like one will... puppies are free. Same thing.
I thought that was good.
Yes.
Yeah, I still think none of them were as good as the one from last year that didn't win. That was the first to find chaser who's abandoned his wife at all sorts of places.
Oh, yeah.
And if you saw that one, you know exactly which one I mean.
Yeah.
That's the one that ended up with her with a different cashier, right?
Yes.
Pretty much. Yes. And he only got second to find.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. There were a lot of good... good finalists this year. We went through, Amy and I sat down and went through it. If you get a chance, like Chad said, we've got the link to the YouTube video. It's about an hour long. And there's quite a few different geocaching stories that were into this. And what impressed me were how many that were international. From all over the world that were finalists for this, and I thought that was amazingly cool that went in with it. I would have to say geocaching is free was one of my favorites as well. The other one was A Travel Bug's Life. That was cute. That was a little bit of a heartstring tugger in part of it. So I didn't realize how emotionally involved I was in the character when it went through it. And you'll have to see it for yourself to find out what I'm talking about. The other one that actually won, which is the geocaching day in Vilnius. I thought was awesome. The scenery was awesome. There were a couple really creative hides in there that I went, oh, I got to steal, borrow that idea, because they were really, really good. And one of the things that Amy had mentioned while we were watching that is it's obvious if a geocacher can find, and Scott would laugh, so I'm just going to do this in remembrance of Scott. If there was a hole to put a geocache, a geocacher is going to find it and put it in, because there was just some amazing... I mean, you would have to literally measure and shape and fit these things. And it was just a well-done overall geocaching day. And I just had a great time with it.
Well, it was like when the guy pulls out the saw... And the entire room groans, oh, no.
Oh, that one with the genie kind of guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one was funny, too.
Was that the reviewer's day one?
Yeah, I think that was. Yeah, the reviewer's day, as he had to go in as kind of a genie type of pop-in when somebody was doing something wrong.
That sort of made a lot of serious points quite in a funny way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, got it.
Did that one have a lick of English in it?
No.
It's like you understood the entire thing without
a word.
Any words.
I think that one was Czech Republic, if I remember right. I can't
tell. Yeah, there's a couple of them like that.
Yes.
It was good.
But everybody had their own style of storytelling. And matter of fact, that's the whole reason why we're going to be talking tonight is how you can go out and create your own quality geocaching videos. And we're going to give some tips from that and from watching the GIF. But if you really want to have a good time, and like I said, you spend about an hour, who doesn't anymore watching YouTube, we'll have the link for you to go check it out and see the finalists this year. And it was funny, we picked up, speaking of last year's finalists, when you watch a video with YouTube, it automatically scrolls to the next available video that was out there, and it happened to be last year's finalists. And the first one that they showed was with kids explaining geocaching. And I laughed so hard. It's like, I gotta go do stuff. This stuff is good. So yeah, it's amazing when you check those out. They're awesome. All right, good stuff. It's just amazing. The other one that I really like too that I got to mention here was the still action with the Legos.
Oh yeah,
that was funny too. Very well done. You knew it had to take some time to film something like that, and great story, very fun, very cutely done, and just a joy to watch. So yeah, go check them out. Neat stuff. All right, let's move on to tonight's episode 515. What does it take to make a geocaching quality video? And I figured we could just kind of start with some basics. Now, I don't know how much Sarah and Chad have done in the past of making videos geocaching wise. I don't want to know about the other ones that I'm not going to want to watch. But just going out and making those type of videos. I don't know if you've actually ever done stuff like that before. Have you ever actually published on YouTube?
I have published on YouTube, but not a geocaching video. I'm not a very good video maker, and usually my videos are of other things, how to's.
Well, that's not bad. That's how I started with mine, with GeoSnippets. It was a how-to about bison tubes.
Yeah, but you know, you already had the market covered. It's like I can't compete in that market.
The funny part nowadays, I can't compete anymore either, because a certain person,
Joshua,
you know, it's funny because
I've never got the eye. It's sort of coming up with a story that you want to tell,
right?
That hasn't already been told.
Yeah, and the kicker is sometimes you don't have to be original. And to do stuff like that. And that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight. Way back when, in 2008, when I started making videos, there was probably about 100 YouTube videos out there, if that. So when I started making, I would make a video about at least once a month, sometimes several times a month, depending on what kind of stuff I wanted to get out. If you put out just the word geocaching in YouTube right now, you're going to see that there's over 355,000 geocaching videos. So things have built up over the years. And it's, you know, people love seeing things like that. There's just so many different ways and so many different things that you can do with making geocaching videos. And the kicker is you learn a lot about what people like and don't like just by watching them. If you start watching other people's videos, you're going to see the ones that are a little better edited, a little more enjoyable to watch, as opposed to ones that aren't. It's not like they're not worth watching, but you definitely start picking up little tricks of, if you're going to make your own video, this is what you want to do. And that's the kind of stuff we're going to go over tonight. It's amazing to me, since even 2008 when I started, the equipment that has changed over that time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the big, you know, almost arm shoulder type camcorders that we had way back in the late 90s and the early 2000s?
Well, okay, so first, smartphones didn't exist, so you couldn't do it on a smartphone.
No.
GoPros didn't exist.
No. No digital.
The majority of DSLR would not record a 480p.
No.
You had to have a very high-end DSLR in order to record any video back then.
Back then, yes. There were VHS tapes that you recorded to. If you had one of the more higher grade ones, you had 8mm tapes that you would use to hook into. It's amazing.
8mm digital.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you would have
one of those.
Yeah. I got a closet full of stuff like that. But it's amazing. The batteries would last about 15 minutes. It was really a chore to try to do any kind of videos, especially early on. But, you know, it was good for your family pictures and videos of the backyard barbecue and things like that.
We used it, actually, when we first came out to New Zealand, we got a camcorder that used to belong to my granddad, and we sort of shot videos of, this is what Wellington looks like, this is what going down the hill looks like. And they were, I think it think watching any of them would have been a labor of love for the family rather than anything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the ones where you drag the daughter's boyfriend to come watch. to torture is basically how I look at it. And yeah, that's basically what they were. The early geocaching ones that I did were shot with an RGB, and that one was, I think, the first. Was that 8mm? I think that was an 8mm for that one as well, where all it had was RGB connectors. And if you remember that, think of the old Atari 2600 and the cables that you had to use to plug in the back of the TV. Those were the type back then. Very bad audio quality for things like that. The video was, I think like you were saying, Chad, where it was maybe 640.
Yeah.
Maybe 640. But that's the kind of stuff that we started off with, and that's what you had. And how much, even in the past 10 years, how much things have changed since then. I mean, you go through, they had a lot of the ones, the camcorders, of course, got smaller, handheld, a lot easier to work with. They finally got away from the tape and started going digital. And then and working with those, you still had the shakiness problem with a lot of them. That was back before they had the handshake correction for things like that. So a lot of the videos back then were pretty bouncy when it came to stuff like that.
Which is a godsend, because some of the videos that got posted, you're like, oh my God, I love your spirit. I love your commentation. But your videos are killing my eyes.
Yes. I'm going to throw up. I mean, it's one of those type things. It's really, especially if you do it walking or anything like that, it's just everything was bouncing around for stuff like that. Digital cameras really started coming into their own. And it's funny how as digital cameras came up, the big camcorders started going away. You could get away with a one-shot camera that had record for video built into it. And those were just when I think Joshua started getting into his stuff, and I was doing a lot of mine, where you'd have this back before selfie sticks were cool. That's the way that we had to use those with the camera on the end, because there wasn't a zoom factor like there is now. So unless you wanted to see my left eyeball through the entire video, you had to have a way of keeping them back enough so that people could see a little wider shot out of them. And so we used a lot of things like that. Matter of fact, I remember there was a company, I don't think I actually have it around here somewhere. I think it's in one of my closets. There was actually a ring that was a company made where it had a ring that fit on the very tip of your hiking pole. And it had a little eye screw at the on the top of it, so that you could take your one-shot camera, or if you wanted to trust your DSLR going into a million pieces, you could screw it on to your hiking pole to put it out for longer shots. I remember selling those or giving them away as prizes for a while there. So people were trying to come up with inventive ways of getting that wider shot for people when they're out hiking and doing those type of things where you really wanted a good quality shot for it. So there is just a lot of different things that have happened over the years. As even the digital cameras started getting almost as good as the camcorders or better, that's when the smartphones started getting in. And it's funny how quickly over just a few years the smartphones completely took over the camera business. They went through and just, cameras that you would pay $1,000 for were going down to several hundred, if that. It just blew the market right out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, I bought a lot of digital cameras back in the 2000s and stuff before this, and I've only bought one since my first smartphone came out.
Oh yeah,
I was buying one every other year just to get the features, and now it's like, and my smartphone's good enough for 99% of it.
Yeah,
I still like to have a pocketable DSLR with a very, you know, a 30x physical zoom.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You can't beat a physical zoom. Yeah. But other than that, it's like, yeah, I don't need a new one.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, there's so many features that are on smartphones now that you never would see on any camera.
Yeah.
I mean
HDR capability built into a smartphone and stuff, so you're able to take nighttime shots that you can actually tell what things are.
Yeah.
You know, that's nice.
Yeah, when you start getting into the panoramics and the 360 view, mm-hmm. and all the different things that you have on a phone nowadays, half of that smartphone is people buy for the camera. And so mm-hmm. it's just interesting how those things have evolved over all this time. I mean, it's the only other time that I see people taking the SLR type cameras out, and I'll use Sonny from Podcaster as a good example. He's a professional photographer, mm-hmm. and you know, there are times that you just need that high quality. There, you know, nothing beats a glass lens when it comes right. out to things like that. And so but the normal geocacher that goes out, even though you're at some very spectacularly lovely places, is not going to be walking around with $2,000 worth of camera equipment on their back.
Right. I'm not bringing my DSLR out on a, you know, 15-mile hike where I'm possibly going to fall down and, yeah. and crush the thing. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
My phone, on the other hand, it's got to be with me. So,
yeah.
I was going to say, sort of thinking of some of the larger things, the bulk and the weight. Especially if you're on a longer hike, the weight mm-hmm. is taken up with water, food, possibly cooking equipment, and on a really night, you know, so whatever you're sleeping in.
Yeah.
You don't.
But I will have to admit, there's been times when I've been out there where I'm like, oh my God, I really wish I had my DSLR.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, just in tripods alone, you know, depending on the size of the camera you have, depends on the weight and the size that you have of your tripod. Many times I've been very happy with a smaller camera with just like a Gorilla pod. And if you ever worked with those before, they're mm-hmm. really neat. They screw in the bottom of your camera, and they've got those bendy legs, so you can wrap it around a tree branch or, you know, a bench mm-hmm. or something like that, and you can still get that nice straight shot. But I'll tell you what, carrying those things, like you said, if you're on a long hike, that is a lot of weight to be moving around with.
Right.
Yep. Some of the other things that have changed over time, YouTube, I think, has been around forever as the main staple when it comes to videos. I don't think it has waned in any way, shape, or form. If you know, there are people out there that want to be YouTube famous. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
I don't want to. I don't want to be it, but yeah, I do. My son wants to be YouTube famous. He thinks he can make a living off of being a YouTube star. It's like, yeah, you've got a better chance of becoming a movie star than a YouTube star.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how much that has gone from its origins to where it is now. It's just amazing how it is. But there have been other services that have come along the way that people did. Now, I'm not talking necessarily photography, but more on the video side of it. Even Periscope. Periscope mm-hmm. had a huge rush for about, what, a year, year and a half, where everybody and their brother, I remember Saturdays, that phone giving off the notification about 50 times from other people that were putting out Periscopes. You know, I was doing it, too. I was putting out several, you know, to the point where people were like, hey, can you cut it down a few mm-hmm. on a daily basis? Because so many were going through. It kind of waned out. And then,
yeah, I had to turn off notifications fairly quickly. It's like, because, you know, I'd be sitting there at work and just go, rah, rah, rah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I got to disable that.
Yeah. And it was interesting because it allowed people who may have been a little apprehensive to put out a video to suddenly put out this personalized little snippet for them to go out and show, you know, here, I found a geocache, here it is, and ta-da, and here we go. So they were short, they were quick, And people seemed a little more apt to go out and actually make a Periscope thing. But after about a year and a half, it just kind of fell out. I think Facebook tried to take over things. So they had their own video part of it. But even then, I haven't seen anything on Facebook in a while for their video. So I don't know if that's, you know, I think that's pretty much dying out. So where are we? We're right back to YouTube.
Yeah. And, you know, YouTube is a go-to source for video. You know, if you're looking for a video about anything, whether it be geocaching to fixing your window in your car.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's turned into its own database of stuff for you to figure things out.
Do you want to read it or do you want to watch? I mean, I'm sort of still at the stage where I prefer to sort of read something rather than watch a video, but there are times that videos are just so damn useful.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just plain entertaining. Amy was sitting there laughing a little while ago, and I'm like, what? And what was she looking at? Cat videos. Actually, kitten videos. And so, she says, oh, she's so cute. And I'm like, oh, please. But yeah, that's it. It's people get whatever they want out of videos and going that way. So yeah, whether you're out making your own, you know, Periscope type things where you're doing your own while you're doing it. That's the only thing that I really liked with Periscope was that I would be in a certain part of the world doing my Periscope, and then I would see the people as they were making comments about it saying, I'm trying to explain, you know, one of the comments was, I'm trying to explain to my son that I'm in Europe and you're in the United States right now live doing this and having them mentally try to figure that part out. I love that kind of connectivity when it comes to things. So, yeah, just cool stuff with it. All right, kinds of geocaching videos that are out there. There's a zillion of them. A lot of the stuff that I started off with GeoSnippets way back when was tutorials. Everybody likes finding their own little niche that they feel comfortable with. For me, I remember when I first started off, I did a basic one with a bison tube. You know, explained the three pieces of it, what it was, the logbook, all that fun stuff. And I was amazed by how many people wrote back and said, do more. Explain this. Show that. And so that's how I started GeoSnippets. It's just public people saying, can you tell us about this or tell us about that when it came to geocaching? And 300 some odd videos later, you know, still making them. So that's all part of the fun with it. So those are the kind of things. Very common thing with geocaching videos is just people going out showing their finds, kind of like Periscope, where they go out and show their first to finds, I think, is one of the more popular ones that they go through. But do you got any other examples that you can think of?
Showing special caches. You know, caches that are gadget caches or extremely difficult to find caches or impossible to actually access caches. You know, those are the kinds that I liked. There was a gentleman that went by the name of Sven that was out there for a while who's passed away. But, you know, he had a lot of great videos on those type of things. There's a lady down in Florida that did a lot of those as well. And then there's the adventures, like Joshua tends to take you on an adventure when you're going watching his stuff.
Yep. Yeah, there's just so
I have a bit of a problem with some of those in that I'm not a fan of posting spoilers.
Ah, see, that's the big thing. And that's the debate.
So they're spoilers and not, in my opinion, not spoilers. I'm watching these videos of places that I know there's a snowball's chance in hell that I'm ever going to get out there and do that. If it's something that is local or I know is local, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of up to you. And I would not spoil it if the cache owner would not allow me to.
Right.
So, you know, and that's the one of the things that these individuals that I specifically spoke of would mention is that, you know, they got permission from the cache owner to show this.
Yeah. And that's one of the things.
I've got no problem with sort of, hey, this is this fabulous walk along up through this forest or along this hillside, and talking about the journey and the place, and then, and here's the cache I found, but not exactly where it was.
Right. Yeah, and that's important.
The 30 seconds bit missed off. I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I know Joshua does the same thing. I did the same thing. We contacted the geocaching owners and saying, hey, do you mind us showing this? And I would say a couple did not want to have it shown. The rest of them's like, show them. Hey, have a good time with it. I've never had any major incidences. A lot of the other ones where it's just, you know, difficulty terrain one ones or one and a half, one and a halves, where you've seen it a million times, but they might have a unique spin on it. That one I had no problem showing those either.
Right.
You know,
if it's a skirt lifter that has a magnet holding it up inside,
yeah,
underneath the skirt, it's like, yeah, but you're not really
giving anything away. Yeah, more. Yeah. So, but that's a very good point, though.
It's fake pine cone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because a lot of times people want to see those. They don't realize that particular region, that's how geocachers hide. You know, a particular type. Yeah. And you'll see those all the time. The other one, speaking of vlogs, I think is really kind of cool. Instead of blogging, a lot of times geocachers will kind of have their own, just their own take on their way of looking at geocaching. Some things you may agree with, some things you may not agree with, but the kicker is if you find a particular vlogger that you like, like for me and about a billion other people with Joshua and other ones, you look forward to when they come out. You look forward to when they go out and give their little spiel about that particular adventure that they're on. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that back when I did the tutorials and back when I did my vlogs for that as well, I would get emails from people. And they would say, don't stop, or could you do them about this or that? What a lot of people don't realize, there's a lot of folks out there that either kids, where they're not able to get out into the wild as we would because they're kids. So they don't have the opportunity to go out all the time to find particular types of geocaches. A lot of folks that are homebound or just not able to get around as much as they would like because of medical issues, they live vicariously through these videos. And you may think, well, nobody's going to watch it. You would be surprised how many people will watch yours and many other videos because they love seeing geocaching that they can't do. And I get constant emails about that from people saying, thank you for doing this. I never knew this particular geocache was like that in this area. And two, I can't get out, and I get to go with you for the ride when you go out on an adventure. So that's why it's so important when you do this to try to give out the best experience you can when you make a video. So, yep, excellent stuff.
With me. It comes back again to what story do you want to tell?
Oh, yeah.
And getting that across. And also coming back to the podcast, because I'm selfish. If there are people out there that have things that they'd like us to talk about, they'd like us to cover, what stories do you want us to tell or talk about or make it up on the spot or whatever we end up doing? Please, please let us know.
Yeah.
Because the more we know, the more we can. We can't think of everything. Please. So if there's stuff that you'd like us to spend half an hour or so bouncing around on a Wednesday evening to US time, Thursday afternoon my time, drop us a line and let us know.
Yeah. Now, one of the things to share with what Sarah was saying with that, we get a lot of people that send in feedback where, you know, if you're in America and they've known Scott or Chad or myself or what have you, to hear somebody from the other side of the planet – from New Zealand and talk about the things that they go again. They have. There's very little chance I'm ever going to actually make it to New Zealand. I know right. this, but I have the honor and the pleasure to talk.
You want to come to New Zealand and see, have an awesome time and see a lot of cool areas.
Yeah.
Wellington is putting on an event that we hope will get mega status in October 2018.
Yep.
I'm not organizing it. I just know it's going to be a great time. Some of the things I'm hearing that are planned.
Right.
So if you're looking at annual holiday time, book a cheap flight, something like the 20th or so of October. I haven't got the date in front of me, but that would be good. And any video loggers that want to come across and I can tell you the scenery from the Lord of the Rings, some of it's CGI, but a hell of a lot of it isn't.
Yeah. And I would love to see that, but be able to talk to you about your experiences when you go in the back wild part of it. It's awesome. It's something mm-hmm. that I have my own kind of experiences like that, but when you talk with somebody that's from another country or another area, it just makes it that much more enjoyable to listen and hear about things like that. You know, so
and
that's
hey, I know I can you too a lot of stick about your life and your weather, what your storms and what's happening in your country. But yeah, I do like hearing what's happening and keeping up to date.
Yeah, that's why we do a lot of our banter stuff, is just so that people, that's one of the things that we do with the hosts and why we're so spread out with things, so that we're able to pick up different regional areas and see what the differences are on a week-to-week by basis.
Or if you want something over Easter, I gather that Australia is doing, there's a big geo-muster, as they're calling it, because it hasn't got mega status. In Easter 2018, so that might be worth having a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, with Geo Woodstock coming up next year, it's going to be our first Giga. I mean, that's going to be you're going to be hearing about that continuously. But it's just neat. So yeah, that's part of the fun. So anyways, back to making videos, some of the things that you want to keep in mind, and I pulled this right out of the geocaching blog where they were talking about the GIF finalists, and it's true. And if you want to make your own GIF video, this is something that not only for that, but making a geocaching video for YouTube, you want to consider this. And I'm just going to read it word for word. It says, what the reviewer said about the winning video is a great clue for what they are looking for in a winning video. And they said the reviewers, judges considered production quality, content, creativity, and contribution to the global geocaching community. And in no point in this, and in no point in any of the videos did I see where a large sum of money was needed to complete these videos. There was not really, you might have a couple of tricks up your sleeve, like with the stop action, but you could get that on a camera now. The ability.
Yeah, I think there might have been $30 worth of Legos in there. I mean, I'm pretty. Money.
There might have been a bunch, but it's not like this doesn't. No. This isn't a multi-$1,000 production that you need to do to make a GIF.
In Australia, it's free. I mean,
yes.
Sorry, that one's too funny.
Yes. Yeah. Geocaching's free was awesome. And it took some creativity. And that's one of the things that you want to keep in mind when you make a geocaching video, any video. There's some certain things that you really need to keep in mind. Make a story. It could be very simplistic. It could be very complicated. It could have a twist, a shocking moment. It could have something in there, but you have to think. You can't make one of these videos on the fly. You really need to think of the whole thing from beginning to end, what you want to get across when you're making your video. Very important, because a lot of times you'll get out there and it's like, what am I trying to do? And you're wasting a lot of time and a lot of sunlight by doing something like that. So make a script. Every geo snippets that I did, I had a 4, 5, 6 page script of bullet points of things that I wanted to get across with that. You know, where I'm going to go to actually do the shooting itself and what I needed to take with me when I did it. Because that way, if everything's on paper and you've thought it through from beginning to end, you can tweak things as they happen when you make a video, but you get everything you need when you shot, because I'll tell you what, nothing worse that you can do is to go out for an entire day, drove, you know, X number of miles to get what you needed to do, and then there's a section you forgot to film. Nothing will drive you insane more than to have something like that happen. So think it through and check them off as you're doing it.
Or if you didn't think it through, and then later as you're putting it together, you realize, you know, it would have been really great to have this in there.
Exactly.
But since you didn't think it through, didn't get in there.
Yeah. So make your story, think it out, write it down, and tweak as you go when you make it. But that way you can check them off as you do in each scene when you do things like that. Good quality video, a lot better now than it was. I mean, we're at 1080 now, so I mean, it's and more, depending on how things are going now that we're going into the 4K era or more. So quality video, the main thing that you want to do, again, like we were talking before, if you can put it on a stable, if you can put it on a tripod, much better than just hand holding, because I've got pictures of me all over the place like this, where I've got the camera in my hand doing this, shooting back at me. After a while, you get the shakes. I mean, you hold it for all day, you're trying to do stuff, and you can
get a very cheap light tripod that's for $9.99.
Yep.
You know, aluminum, put a little smartphone clamp.
Yep.
That mounts right on the tripod for another $5, and there you're done. You don't need a big hefty tripod mount to hold your smartphone.
No, it's awesome. And there's a lot of other ways that you can do that too. I know with Daryl W4, if you watch Geo Gearheads, they go over that every once in a while when it talks to different ways of doing video with different devices.
And there's little Bluetooth fobs and stuff as well to turn your camera on for your smartphone.
Yep.
Turn it on and that kind of things. IR ones for your DSLR.
You can do it through your watch if you've got a smartwatch. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do that. Yeah, very, very cool. The other thing, though, that you really do want to make sure that you have is good quality audio. Nothing will ruin a video quicker. You can have the best pretty thing through, but if all you hear is of the wind, it'll tear it up. You really, or somebody's talking too far away from where the camera is and you can't hear them clearly. Quality audio is extremely important when you make a video. If you could wear a lapel there, you could get some pretty inexpensive mics that'll hook into your camera or your phone that you can use that will save a lot of grief later on.
And even if you don't have that, a sock to put over the end to kill the wind noise. I mean, yeah, not cheap ways.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And effective. I mean, it'd be surprising how much you see that they go through with that. Again, solid camera work with the tripods. B-roll. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't realize. They'll go out and they'll cut their scenes for what they want to get across. When you're watching a movie, there is transitions that you go through that take you from point A to point B before the next scene starts up. It might be a shot of the driving the car down a freeway. It may be you walking down a hiking trail. There's so many different ways that you could have for transitions that when the viewer is watching it, they just kind of realize you are going on an adventure because you're showing this as they go from point to point to point. The other part is if there is scenery around you that you're trying to talk about geocaching and that, take the time to, you know, some of the scenic spots that are nearby while you're doing your standard scenes. Take 10-15 second shots of those as well and include that into your video. That's called B-roll. And what that does is that you could have a point of interest that's nearby. You could have a scenic lake or something else that you want to get across. It envelops the user and the viewer for to get more of an atmospheric feel of what's around you when you're doing your shots. So keep in mind.
And slow pan, that
slow
type of stuff.
Pan.
Don't just go.
Yes.
It's like nobody's catching it if you just do that. You know, you do it, you know, if you want to get a nice view of the full scene, you know, you do it slowly.
Yes.
Going across there. And you might want to be talking while you're doing it off camera, so that you're keeping their attention, but they also get to see the scenery.
Yeah, the voiceover is very important as well when it comes to your audio for just those type of things. So that way you're not hearing somebody talk about something while you're doing scene one. You show a B-roll where there's nothing, and then you're at scene two and you're talking again. Do a voiceover while you're doing that so that they can get an idea of what's going on. Extremely, extremely important. Pick good content. What do you want to get across to your viewers? Is it something that's funny? Is it something that's important? Is it a tutorial type thing? What's your key point for what the whole video is about? Make sure you understand that thoroughly, because that will come across in your video if you do not. Let's see. Location, location, location. That's one of the things that I noticed with the finalists with just about every one of the videos. There were shots in there of Slovakia and some of the other countries, mm-hmm. of stuff that I had never seen before. It may be commonplace for the people that are actually shooting it, but if you've never experienced the architecture or the scenery or whatever, one of them was just a geocacher by an amazing river that was flowing by. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Get that in. Location, 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 when you can do your get shots to make it as interesting as possible is huge. The other thing that you want to consider is, well, it's okay to be funny. It's okay to be silly. It's okay to be scary. Whatever the mood is you want to present in your videos for geocaching, your imagination's your limit. Go for it. Whatever you feel that's going to go, that's in good taste. I'll add that part of it. And you can define what you feel good taste is. If you realize that 99.9 of the geocachers that are going to watch are family value type stuff, then you shoot family value type film and going that way. If you don't, you mark it so that people realize there might be adult content or whatever that's involved with it. But use your imagination. Whatever pops up in your head, go for it. And with these GIFs, I mean, you can come up with some pretty crazy stuff for those, and just let your imagination go wild. Last thing we've got before we wrap everything up is video editing. Just about every operating system that's out there, be it Microsoft, be it iOS, be it what have you, when it comes to computers, has some form of free video editing that you can get. Now, you can spend a couple $100, or actually, I think the most expensive video editor that I have is Corel Professional. I think I paid $90 for it. For that. I mean, you don't have to spend a whole lot, but with all the videos that I do, it's important, and I need a little bit more functionality when it comes to video editing. You can get Movie Magic on Windows and some of these other ones absolutely free to put this stuff together. And the learning curve on it's pretty minimal when it comes to putting things in there.
Yeah, there's some pretty good quality open source video editors. What I found in the last 10 years or so is that whenever you're looking at for something free, look for the open source software.
Yep.
Because that stuff just improves and improves and improves. Yep.
Yeah, good example for that. I'm trying to think for on PC is paint.net for photographs. That's an open source. Mm-hmm. and the features constantly come in, and it's just as good as a high-paying photo editor that you can spend quite a bit of money on, but people come up with the add-ons and the different functionality that's in on it, and it's free. So you can right. you can really get some really good deals for stuff like that. All right, good stuff. Sarah, any final thoughts?
Not a huge amount. I mean, I enjoy watching videos from time to time. It's coming up. The key thing for me is work out what message what you want to show, and show it in a way that works for you.
Absolutely.
And just go for it. Have fun.
Absolutely. Very well put. All right. Good stuff. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed tonight's episode when it comes to making your own geocaching videos. And I hope this sparks an idea for you. Okay, you've got a year now or so before the next year's gifts to come in for you to come up with your own ideas that you want to do for them. Like I said, there was a lot of countries all over the place that were involved this year. So I think it's time to start stepping it up a little bit and start putting out some more winners on the out of the States to go in for that. Of course, I didn't see any from New Zealand. I saw Australia. Hint, hint, wink,
wink. I know Steve Michel put a couple in, which is an Australian vlogger. We can't do sweeping scenery because it's all been done for the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, we'd love to see it anyways. Are you kidding? And if you could get Xena to run across the screen for a couple of shots, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm not sure my budget had run to that. And Lord was down in Dunedin at the last couple of days.
I've got an idea, and I've got it all laid out. But it's doing it. It's getting out there and doing it. And I would need to recruit some local geocachers here
in order
to play the roles that I want to do.
Yep.
And you know, it's a bit of a pun on a real world individual. And geocaching. So.
There you go. That's what you do. Spoof them. I mean, go for it. Whatever you want to do.
I'm not going to say who it is because then my idea is going to get stolen.
Yeah, don't do that. But we'll be looking forward to it.
Disclaimer: no geocaches were harmed in the making of this film.
Or were.
And then it was left purely coincidental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do it. I mean, it's great. Go for it. And it's a lot of fun. And a lot of people will enjoy it. And if you look at the GIF finalists this year, that's all they had. They found a bunch of fellow geocachers. And, you know, they said their lines and away they went. So, good stuff.
Yep.
All right. Well, we hope this helps spark a little interest in you for going out and doing a YouTube video for yourself, and also maybe possibly putting in for a GIF entry for 2018. All right. Good stuff. Want to thank Chad. Want to thank Sarah for all you do. Thank you guys for stopping on by, and thank you, fine folks, for stopping on by and seeing the Geocaching Podcast. All right. Let's do this before my voice completely goes. Here we go. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast. We're here, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production. It is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.